This is Bob Burney welcoming you once again to this very special presentation of a nationwide call to prayer held at the Southern Baptist Convention in Columbus, Ohio, on Tuesday night, June 16th. Imagine, if you will, 5,000 to 6,000 people gathered together in an expansive exhibition hall. The president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Ronnie Floyd, has asked everyone to get into small huddles, small groups of 5, 6, possibly 7 people. Well, they've done that. There are circles of people all over the exhibit hall. And President Ronnie Floyd is leading them in how they should pray in their individual groups. Now, let's return to the convention hall of the Southern Baptist Convention in Columbus, Ohio.
Now, please remain in your groups and let's come to the end of this session, just this one little prayer area. Now, I want you to listen to the next instructions as we continue in this mode of praying in the huddles about the sin of racism and prejudice. Right now, I want us to turn our attention to the Southern Baptist Convention. And we're going to repent from the sin of racism in our convention. And we're going to make a commitment. We're going to come together in the unity of the gospel. That it doesn't matter what the color of our skin is, we're going to repent of all racism and all prejudice. We're going to turn from it as a convention. We're not going to let it rule us. We're going to stand against it in Jesus' name, and we're going to unify in the gospel. Now, someone pray in each group about the Southern Baptist Convention in relationship to this area, that we will unify in the gospel in love. Right now, one person in the group pray, and everyone else agrees. Father, forgive us as a denomination of ever exhibiting any prejudice, any racism. We stand against it in Jesus' name tonight. And we come together in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this final area of prayer in relationship to this region and this section in our time together in prayer tonight, here's where I want us to turn our attention in our last couple of minutes of prayer. We're going to pray for America. We have a country that is right now broken and fragile and divided, and racism is ruling. Prejudice is ruling, and tonight we're going to pray that our country will repent and that we will lead the way in modeling for them true unity that's really only found in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And so tonight, let's pray for our country to come together and to cease all division caused by racism and prejudice. Right now, pray for America in this regard. One person in the group out loud, everyone else agrees in prayer. Just a few more seconds. Lord, hear our prayer for our country tonight. In the name of Jesus, hear our prayer tonight, Lord, for our nation, and that our nation will come together, and that we as the Church of Jesus will be the hope of unity in our cities, in our towns, and in all of our relationships. And that's only possible because of your redemptive work. Now, church, I want you to look this way, everyone, tonight. And all of you men on the stage tonight. It's only found in the redemptive work of Christ. And tonight we're going to celebrate that through a wonderful, wonderful worship moment.
After this powerful time of prayers of repentance, James Merritt, pastor of Cross Point Church in Duluth, Georgia, came to the pulpit to talk about it's time to be filled with God's power.
The Lord Jesus had a tender side and a tough side. And he saved his harshest words for the most religious, denominationally minded leaders of his day. There were two major denominations, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They both treasured their traditions, bragged about their bureaucracy, crowed about their conservatism. And yet on one particular occasion, he made one of the most damning, rebuking statements he ever made to anyone when he said this to some Sadducees: "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." It's one thing to be ignorant of the Word of God. It's another thing to ignore the power of God. And if there's ever been a time when our pastors and our churches and our seminaries and our missionaries and our denomination ever desperately needed the power of God, that time is now. Never before in our nation's history have we had more productive churches, more prosperous churches, more popular churches. But can we honestly say, compared to the church at Pentecost, we have powerful churches? Dr. A.W. Tozer, who knew as much about God and revival as anyone, poignantly said this: "If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. But if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would have stopped and everybody would have known the difference." The church today is bigger, richer, sleeker, slicker than it's ever been. We have mastered the marketing of the church. We have transformed technology in the church. And yet we look outside the church and we see the banks of America are overflowing with the waters of wickedness. We desperately need a spiritual awakening. But without the power of God, a spiritual awakening is just a pipe dream. Spiritual awakening will not come to America until revival comes to the church. And revival will not come to the church until the power of God falls on the church. So I just want to remind us, we need God's power working in us. After the temptation, after Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, we're told in Luke, he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Even the Son of God would not get up out of the ground from his sleep the night before until he knew he was filled with the Spirit of God, and neither should we. We need God's power witnessing through us. Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Let us never forget, it is the Spirit of God working through the saints of God that brings sinners to God. And then finally, we need God's power walking before us. Our president is right. We worship a God, Paul said, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is his work within us. Now, let me just be honest. I get it. I understand. You say, "James, the waters of wickedness in this land are as deep as they've ever been." Yes, they are. You say, "James, the levels of lukewarmness in our churches are as high as they've ever been." Yes, they are. But I still believe we can have a spiritual awakening. And I still believe that we can experience revival because I believe in the power of God. God is not old. God is not sick. God is not retired. And God is not dead. God is not impotent. God is omnipotent. And there is nothing too difficult for him. So I close with this. The people of Israel had been 3 days without water. They were dirty. They were dry. They were desperate and they were dying. And all they had to drink were the undrinkable, bitter waters of Marah. And God said to Moses, "Moses, take a stick and throw it into the water." And Moses did that, and those waters turned as sweet as sugar. That God is alive and well. And that God still specializes in taking an old rugged cross, throwing it into the waters of wickedness, and turning them into rivers of revival. God is up to the task of doing it if we are up to the task of believing it and receiving it. Let's pray together.
As we bow before the Father tonight, just as you're sitting in your chair tonight, surrender completely to Jesus. Say, "Lord, I surrender my all." Tell Him that tonight. Tell Him, "I give you all my bad, all my stuff that I'm packing that's not healthy. I surrender to your Lordship. I give you my problems. I surrender my church, my family, my ministry. Everything. And as you surrender to Him, ask Him for a fresh anointing on your life. Ask Him for a fresh anointing on your ministry. That when you enter that pulpit this coming Sunday, or you enter your church, everything looks differently. And when you explode with worship and explode with leadership and explode with preaching the word, the people will look at you and say, "Oh my soul, what happened to our preacher? What happened to Deacon so-and-so? What happened to her over here? What is she doing? She's a new woman. God got a hold of her." Ask Him for fresh fire in your church. "Oh, my church needs fresh fire from heaven." What about yours? Fresh anointing on our preaching. And let's tell Him tonight, "We believe in your power." Far too long, the world has seen what man can do. Now's the time the world gets to see what God can do. Give us fresh power, fresh filling, fresh anointing. Because the heart of God is for His people to walk in life. That's why the church needs revival. Lord, as your messenger comes, it's time for revival in the church. And all God's people said, amen.
The emphasis of the evening turned from repentance to the desperate need for revival. Steve Gaines, senior pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Cordova, Tennessee, spoke on "It's Time for Revival." in the church.
It's time for revival in our churches. The book of Acts tells us, I believe, what the church ought to be. We read in Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. In 3 centuries, these Christians conquered the greatest empire, the Roman Empire. And you look at them and you say, how in the world can a ragtag group of fishermen, tax collectors, zealots, commoners turn their world upside down in such a short time? They had a holy fire that James talked about that was burning in their souls, and they could not be extinguished. The legalism of Judaism could not extinguish that fire. The philosophies of Greece could not extinguish that fire. The immorality of Rome could not extinguish that fire. In Acts 3, Peter and John had gone to pray, and they saw a lame man. He wanted some alms. Peter said, I don't have any money, but I have something better than that. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And they went into the temple, walking, leaping, praising God. They came out. Peter preached, repent and return, that your sins may be wiped away, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. People got saved, but the Jewish leaders got mad. They arrested them, and in Acts 4, the Bible says they threatened them, but they said, if it's right to obey you rather than God, you be the judge. But as for us, we will not stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And oh, by the way, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. And they went back after they were released and they gathered to pray, and they focused on three things: prayer, God's power, and proclamation. If we want revival, we're going to have to focus on prayer. When they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. I want to tell you, there's some people in this room, including myself, God needs to shake us. God needs to shake our churches. God needs to shake our denomination. They prayed, and God shook them. They had seen Jesus pray. They knew that He prayed, and they said, you know, if Jesus needs to pray, we need to pray. But they didn't just pray. They prayed until the power of God was upon them, and that's a different story. You can pray, but when you pray through, God comes on you in power. And if we want revival, we don't just focus on prayer, we focus on the power of God. It says, when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, brethren, God's work requires God's power. It's not by might, not by power, not by any of our stuff, but it is by the Spirit of the living God. God doesn't need your brains, your brawn, or your bucks. He doesn't need your mind, your might, or your money. He just wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost and then use you for His glory. We're not smart enough. We're not wealthy enough. We're not strong enough. We need the power of God. They focused on prayer. They focused on power. And once they prayed and the Spirit of God came down upon them and filled them, then they focused on proclamation. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. In my quiet time, I'm praying for God to raise up a new generation of Wesley brothers. I'm praying for God to raise up some more Whitfield, some more Edwards, some more Asbury's. I'm praying for God to raise up some people who will travel, and while they travel, they will travail, and they will preach the Word of God in season and out of season, in churches and outdoors, to where people won't go to church, but they'll bring the church to them, and they'll share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, Dr. Fish used to say, if you want to serve Jesus, you cannot serve Jesus with a zipped lip. Jesus Christ, if He is in your heart, He will come out of your mouth. We need to tell people about Jesus Christ. Proclamation. I'll tell you what we need. We need a church that is praying, that is full of the Holy Ghost power, and that is proclaiming the gospel. We don't need a higher minimum wage. We don't need just a stronger economy. We don't need gay rights. We need a church on fire for the living God. And we need for the church to wake up and say, we're going to pray until the power falls. And when the power falls, we're going to tell people about Jesus and proclaim that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh God, revive your church.
And church, we bow together right where we are, and we pray for revival in the church. And in this moment, there will be several prayers uttered about specifics about revival, groups that we pray for. And right now, all of us in this room, all of us watching on television, all who are listening on the radio, and all of you that are on the web, you join us in agreement. As the church prays, we pray in agreement.
Father, I thank you so very much that I'm redeemed. But Father, I thank you so very much that you reached down and called me out to be a man of God. Father, I pray for pastors all across Southern Baptist life and around the world, regardless of what denomination they may be labeled by. Father, I pray that you will give us a fresh anointing. And Father, I pray more than anything that you'll touch our lives. Let us know it's a new day and you're bringing about a new work. Let it be a great spiritual awakening. But Father, I pray that, Lord, where there's sin, I pray that we'll repent. And Father, I pray that there will be a renewed spirit within us to have a desire and a passion, not for the world, but Father, for your word. Lord, I pray for revival to be in the pew, but Lord, let it begin in the pulpit. Lord, would you revive your men? Lord, I pray that as we stand, let us preach with a new anointing. And Father, I thank you for the revival that you're going to bring.
Yes, amen.
Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity just to be a pastor's wife. Father, I thank and pray that, Lord, that's such a special calling. But, Lord, it's not our husband's calling as well. We have that calling. I pray that, Lord, we will take that so serious, Father. I pray right now that there will just be revival in our hearts, Father. And we know that it's just starts with our relationship with you. I just pray that Father, our prayer life will be stronger than it's ever been. I pray that our study in your word will be as strong as it's ever been. And Father, I just pray that you'll take us, Father, make us radiant from the inside out. Let us have vibrant relationships with you. So Father, that people that we come across, they will have the opportunity to see you in us. And Father, I just pray that you'll take the time, Father, just to allow us to know and notice, Father, that you give us the power, Father, to do great things. And Lord, we just pray that many lives will be touched and changed because of our vibrant walk as a pastor's wife. Lord, let us love on people, let us serve people, and let us bring people to you.
Oh, Father, your pastors are your beating heart, the heart of the body of Christ, but we who are not pastors are every other part of the body. And Father, you need arms and legs and hands, you need feet, you need every other thing, and we beg you to call us not just to repent, but to act, to lead your businesses, to invent great cures, to change the world for you, to make everything yours, because it is all yours, and we love you, and we praise you.
Amen.
You're listening to a very special presentation on Salem Radio, the 2015 Southern Baptist Convention in Columbus, Ohio. where the entire emphasis on the Tuesday night service was prayer, revival, and repentance. I hope you'll stay tuned, because in just a few moments, we will return to the Convention Center in Columbus, Ohio, for the conclusion of the special meeting, Calling America to Prayer.